Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 22nd, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Coronavirus, the Local Impact. Taking it outside. Local restaurants eager to resume outdoor dining. Decatur. Macon County restaurant owners are eager to welcome customers back to outdoor dining later this month when it becomes allowed in the next phase of the state's plan to reopen during the coronavirus pandemic. Decatur city officials are working on new rules to help businesses, which typically would be required to meet certain code requirements and obtain a permit to offer outdoor dining. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said that the City Council will hold a special meeting May 26th to discuss various aspects of entering the third phase of the five-step Restore Illinois plan. Right now, we've got a whole new set of opportunities, Moore Wolf said. We're very excited about helping our businesses get open again. We've just got to get it figured out, she said. Governor J.B. Pritzker banned indoor dining at restaurants in mid-March. Restaurants have been able to offer delivery and curbside service. And Pritzker announced Wednesday that outdoor dining would be allowed in the third phase of the plan. All four regions are expected to progress to that phase on May 29th. With the right restrictions, tables 6 feet apart, and away from the sidewalks, masks and distancing measures for staff and other precautions, the experts believe that these services can open at a risk comparable to the other outdoor activities, Pritzker said. Downtown cafe owner John Ninneman has his concerns and has contacted a city official in preparation of opening his business during the next phase. The business at 217 North Main Street does not have a permit for outdoor seating, and he thought he would not be permitted to offer it on the sidewalk outside his restaurant. Ninneman plans to continue to serve his customers through curbside service until they tell us otherwise, he said. During the press briefing, Pritzker suggested local governments be mindful of restaurant owners' ideas. I want to encourage municipalities and mayors who are interested in helping restaurants expand outdoor seating options to do whatever it is in their power and best fits their communities to help these restaurants, Pritzker said. Moore Wolf said she welcomes any advice restaurant owners have regarding Phase 3 and opening their businesses. I have more questions than I have answers, she said during a phone interview Thursday. We are trying to figure out right now the best way to make this work. Moore Wolf and the city will study options for opening up restaurants and other businesses, and we will decide how to make this work in our community, in our own community, Moore Wolf said. But we are trying to get clarification on a lot of this. Topics the council will have to consider may include alcohol sales, sanitation, fees, and other regulations. We're trying to get together ideas of how we can make this as profitable as possible for our businesses, Moore Wolf said, to make it as easy as possible and make it work. Moore Wolf said officials want feedback from business owners who can email her at moorewolf@decatur.il.gov. Again, that's moore-wolf@decaturil.gov. Other council members' contact information is listed on the city website, decaturil.gov. We need some input from the restaurants themselves as to what they want to do, she said. We may have a plan that we think is perfect that just won't work for them. The city council meeting will abide by social distancing rules with only 10 people allowed in the chambers at a time. Most council members have participated through video conferencing since the pandemic began. Mike Dance, general manager of Mount Zion's Causes Pizza, said the business is studying options for when they can expand past drive-through and curbside pickup. We're still trying to get some details ironed out, he said. Dance said the staff will be able to move tables outside and then back inside when needed. Party size is a concern, but we'll adapt to that, he said. The Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce has been working with local restaurants to remove some of the challenges in reopening to the public. However, Causes and other restaurants must also comply with other rules and officials, such as mandated liquor license regulations. And we're not willing to risk that, Dance said. Coronavirus, the state response. Pritzker, reopening guidance in works. Macon County report 5 new COVID-19 cases. Springfield, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Thursday his administration is developing guidelines for local governments and businesses to follow as state prepares to enter the next phase of reopening the economy amid the COVID-19 pandemic. We have guidance documents that are being prepared, work that's already being done to make sure that people have enough time to open safely, Pritzker said during his daily pandemic briefing in his office at the Capitol. He reiterated that all 4 regions of the state are on track to enter phase 3 of the reopening plan on May 29th, when offices, barbershops, beauty salons, and most retail businesses will be allowed to reopen under capacity limits and social distancing guidelines. People will also be allowed to gather in groups of 10 or fewer people. Officials in Macon County announced 5 more confirmed cases of COVID-19 on Thursday, bringing the county's total to 179. Of those, 67 people have been released from isolation, 4 are hospitalized, 91 are recovering at home, and 17 residents have died. Pritzker announced this week that bars and restaurants will also be allowed to reopen for outdoor service, also under capacity limits, social distancing guidelines, and other safety measures. Also, all state parks will reopen, as will indoor and outdoor tennis facilities, and golf courses will allow foursomes on the course with a limit of 1 person per cart. Still, the governor faced a number of questions from news media throughout the state Thursday on issues ranging from youth sports activities to worship services. I'm certainly working with the Illinois Department of Public Health to make sure that summer sports, to the extent we can do it, with 10 or fewer people, that we want to make that happen, he said. More outdoor activity within the parameters of what epidemiologists are saying. I think it will be difficult to have crowds in a stand watching those games, but I know that there are little league games and other sports during the summer that perhaps could happen. And IDPH is working with folks to run those games to make sure that if you can do it, if they're done safely, you can do it if they're done safely. With regard to worship services and retail businesses, however, Pritzker indicated he's not backing away from the 10-person limit. We're still in a phase where 10 people or fewer is the desired number. That's what the epidemiologists are recommending, and so on, he said. Many small stores, that is a number that may be less than they have normally had in their store, but it's still a reasonably good number, and they can keep track of people who are coming in and out. And people who can't fit in can certainly social distance as they wait outside to go in. With regard to churches and mosques and synagogues, I think it's important for people to get together and worship. But again, we've got to follow the same rules. The whole idea here, and this isn't something that I made up, this is something that the epidemiologists really have emphasized, that until we know whether having larger groups together and what the effect of that is, we need to watch what it's like when we let everybody get together in groups of 10, even with social distancing. IDPH reported Thursday that 2,268 new cases of COVID-19 had been confirmed in the state over the previous 24 hours, and that 87 additional people have died of virus-related illness. That brings the total since the pandemic first appeared in Illinois to 102,000. 1,686 confirmed cases and 4,607 deaths. The disease has been detected in 100 of the state's 102 counties. Demographics, census data. Decatur population dropped 7.1% since 2010. City ranks third in U.S. in seeing greatest population decline. Decatur. An expert tasked with marketing Decatur and Macon County said there is a silver lining to new census data showing that a 7.1% decline in the city's population. The data released Thursday shows the community is number three on the U.S. Census Bureau's list of fastest declining American cities with populations of 50,000 or more. But Andrew Taylor, Economic Development Officer with the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur-Macon County, said reason for optimism can be found in a deeper reading of the numbers. He points out that while population trends in Decatur and the county are persistently down, the rate of that decline is itself declining, and by a lot. For example, we were approaching the loss of 900 individuals in Decatur between 2014 and 2015, said Taylor, pointing to what was then an accelerating trend. But this year we lost 390. Now granted, any population loss you should be concerned about, and we have been concerned about it, but those losses have significantly slowed. The data released Thursday shows Decatur lost 5,385 residents between April 1st, 2010 and July 1st, 2019, when the population stood at 70,746. Decatur is behind Charleston, West Virginia, which dropped 9.4%, and Jackson, Mississippi, down 7.4% on the list. Rockford is number 15 with a decline of 5%. The largest population growth in the report is in southern and western states. Frisco, Texas, tops the list of the fastest growing large cities with a growth rate of 71.1%. The data included in the Bureau's population estimates between the official census data between the official census every 10 years. The process for gathering that information is underway. Census data is used to determine allocation of federal dollars and congressional seats. It is projected Illinois, which also has lost population overall, to give up a U.S. House seat as a result of the decline. More than 59% of the nation's households have responded so far to the census online, by mail or by phone, the Census Bureau said this week. Experts have warned the census estimates are less reliable as they get further from the decennial census, and say that that's the way the ongoing 2020 census headcount is, why the ongoing 2020 census headcount is so important for the city. You really have to take it with a grain of salt, said Kurt Metzger, a demographer and director emeritus of the advocacy group Data Driven Detroit, which has the number 11 spot on the list. This is a clarion call for the 2020 census. It's absolutely critical. Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said that she would prefer to wait for the official results. Because of the pandemic, the door-to-door census workers have not been able to go door-to-door, she said. We have a population that really is much more successful at getting the numbers in when door-to-door people go talk to them. Regarding the drop in residents, Taylor makes the same point about population trends in Macon County. In 2014, Macon County lost 1,046 individuals, and in 2015, we lost 1,172, he added. And in 2019, we lost 495. Okay, not good, but not as bad as it has been. He said Decatur remains a substantially manufacturing town, citing statistics that show employment tied to manufacturing hovering around 20 to 22%. But for the United States, in any given community, the average employment base is 8% manufacturing employment, Taylor said. He said any speculation on why the city's population has dropped would be only that speculation. But he also says community reliance upon good jobs manufacturing provides has also been the nature of that work undergo radical changes over the of that work undergo radical changes over the years. So, where you once had 20 population and or excuse me, so where you once had 20 production individuals working, now you have 10 engineers, he added. The changing industrial landscape is less total jobs, or fewer total jobs, it should be, and more jobs for workers with the right training and skills. Right now, if you know how to weld, I will get you a job in 20 minutes, said Taylor, who also serves on the Decatur School Board. And while jobs and the people working them may be fewer, the workers who remain are earning more. Taylor said average annual income in the Decatur area is always going up, and he said that the EDC remains determined to see that trend continue and give more people a reason to live here. Now we're just going to continue doing our work and trying to find job opportunities for our local labor force and economic opportunities for our local employers, he explained. And that's the best we can do. On a personal note, he is also involved in a project that will directly help with Decatur and Macon County's population numbers. His wife is expecting a baby in about a week. And the fastest declining cities, I won't read them all, but Charleston, West Virginia is -9.4%, Jackson, Mississippi -7.4%, and again, number three is Decatur, 7.1%. 6.9 for Shreveport, Louisiana, and Albany, Georgia, 6.7 for Gary, Indiana, 6.6 for Flint, Michigan, 6.6 for Hammond, Indiana. And on down, Detroit 6.1%, St. Louis 5.9%, and Rockford 5.0%. And the photo that accompanies this on the front page, besides a picture of Mr. Taylor, shows a parking lot near the town square. Vehicles line West Prairie Avenue during the lunch hour in downtown Decatur in January 2019. New census data shows the city lost 5,385 residents between April 1st, 2010 and July 1st, 2019. And we see all the parking spots taken up. And the, I forgot to mention the picture that accompanies the restaurants taking it outside shows Causes Pizza general manager Mike Dance pointing out the area that the Mount Zion restaurant will use for outdoor dining, using the parking spaces as guidelines to ensure local social distancing. In more local and state news on page A3, husband dragged, hit wife, police say. Decatur. A Decatur man who police say argued with his wife and then dragged her back to their hotel room before briefly holding her prisoner was arrested early Monday, a police report says. The 54-year-old man, taken into custody at 3:34 a.m. at a hotel in the 3100 block of North Water Street, was booked on preliminary charges of domestic battery and unlawful restraint. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. A Decatur police sworn affidavit said the man's 51-year-old wife described an argument over money and a computer that began in their hotel room early Monday. She eventually left for the lobby, pursued by her husband of 12 years, who began arguing with her. She said while in the lobby, he grabbed her arms and pulled her back upstairs to the third floor in front of their door, said the police officer, Joe Oberheim, writing in the affidavit. She said while they were standing in the hallway, he struck her with an unknown object on the right side of her face. She stated he then pulled her into their room. She said he then stood in front of the door and would not allow her to leave. The woman told police her husband kept grabbing her and pushing her back as she tried to get out. After several minutes of this, she was finally able to get past him and flee. Oberheim said a hotel employee had seen the couple arguing in the hotel and confirmed the woman's story about being forcibly dragged back to her hotel room. Oberheim said he could see the woman's right facial cheek was swollen and that she had scratches on her neck and left arm. A check of Macon County jail records Thursday showed that the man remained in custody with bail set at $25,000, which means he must post $2,500 to bail out. If he makes bail, he is ordered to stay away from his wife and her home. And there's a picture on this page that says, take a lookout, Lake Lookout, excuse me. A great blue heron takes off from a pond after hunting for food on Thursday at Sportsman Park on East Lost Bridge Road. Go to herald-review.com to see more photos from nature around Lake Decatur. And it's a beautiful blue heron flying against the green foliage in the background. Decatur schools, youth who inspire elders to honor their younger set in Friday's virtual male summit. Decatur, a pandemic isn't going to keep Jeff Dace from holding his annual male summit. The Assistant Superintendent for Teaching and Learning for Decatur Schools has held the summit every year of his 23 years in education and found he had to get creative this year so as not to break his track record. This year's event is online. National Brothers Day is May 24th, so around that time I'm just getting a lot of positive males together, Dace said. If it was in person, we'd have a day of service in the schools and meet for lunch, and the adult males would do a roundtable discussion to tell young people about careers and sort of like attaching them with mentors so that they can find out about careers. This year, we decided to do it in honor of Ahmed Aubrey, the young man killed in Georgia. National Brothers Day is a day to honor one's brothers, whether they're brothers by blood or just men who are like brothers. Aubrey was shot in Brunswick, Georgia, while jogging. Two men have been charged in his death. The virtual event is at noon Friday, today, and registration is available at dps61.org/male summit. All one word, male summit, to receive the link to watch. The keynote speakers are motivational author Robert Jackson and A.D. Carson, professor and Decatur School alumnus. The 37 men in the community who have signed up to speak will give a testimony about a young person who has inspired them. Dace got that idea from a boy at Durfee Magnet School, whom he met during his usual rounds of school visits a few months ago. The child looked up at Dace and asked, "Are you the future me?" "They really look up to us, and that young man has inspired me," Dace said. "I'm pretty sure there are some more stories out there like that." With everything happening, the school year stopped. Seniors looked forward to graduation and prom, and a lot of them need some uplift at this time. Usually it's young people asked to describe an adult who has inspired them, but turning it around like this reminds the youth that adults also look to them for inspiration, Dace said. And he wanted them to know that being young is no barrier to influencing others. MacArthur High School principal Cordell Ingram chose Jeffrey Wells, a 2020 graduate heading to Southern Illinois University Carbondale, in the fall with plans for a career in construction management. Jeffrey is both an outstanding student and athlete, Ingram said, who took a course in building trades to get hands-on experience in the field. He's the kind of kid that if there's something out there to learn, he wants to learn it, Ingram said. You never catch him doing the wrong thing. He's the biggest cheerleader with his peers in the classroom and on the field. Just an amazing kid with an amazing upbringing that was just a blessing for us to have here at MacArthur. Jeffrey lives around the corner from Ingram's home, and when the principal left his house early in the morning to head for school, he often encountered Jeffrey running to keep in shape for football, getting his workout in before heading to school. He's a Gold Delta graduate, which means he earned a grade point average higher than 3.5, and he won several awards, including the Lyle Music School Spirit Award, the Abe Lincoln Illinois Principal Association School Leadership Award, the Earl Hamilton Football Scholarship, and the Zanny Rawls Award for Top Student Athlete. Matt Frost, principal of Stephen Decatur Middle School, nominated Deshaun Boyd, who is finishing his freshman year in high school. Frost said Deshaun is a quiet and unassuming young man and the kind of calm, steady friend that other students felt comfortable confiding in. When Frost called Boyd's mother to ask for permission to speak about him, he said she was happy to say yes and hoped it would motivate Deshaun to strive even more. He's just very smart, but not arrogant, and did well in all of his classes, Frost said. He's just kind of an all-around great kid, but not somebody looking for attention. He just does it very humbly and does his very best every day. He's one of those kids that, as a school administrator, you just want to give opportunities to and challenge and do whatever we can to make him better. And the pictures that accompany this article, it's like a poster for the Mail Summit, Decatur Public Schools Educating for Success Mail Summit. That was today, Friday, May 22nd at noon. Men, is there a youth or adolescent in your life who inspires you to be a better person? Do more in life or do more for your community? Share your story with other men and those who inspire you at DPS Male Summit 2020. And pictured on the poster, it's hosted by DPS Assistant Superintendent Jeff Dace. And the guest speaker, his picture's here, is Robert Jackson, motivational author. And keynote speaker is Dr. A.D. Carson, professor and DPS alum. Scan QR code. Well, you can't do that here because you're just listening. And then there's another picture of Jeff Dace and MacArthur High School student Jeffrey Wells as an inspiration for his principal. Man shoots victim inside ex-girlfriend's place. Police. Decatur. Police say a Decatur resident shot and injured a man inside his ex-girlfriend's residence Thursday morning in the 900 block of North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said officers responded to shots fired about 1:56 a.m. and pursued the suspect, 24, after more shots were heard in the area and he was seen jumping off the porch. He was taken into custody, and a firearm, later found to be reported stolen, was recovered, according to police. The victim, a 27-year-old man, had at least one gunshot wound to the torso, police said. The latest information available to police Thursday morning found him to be stable, Copeland said. The suspect was booked into Macon County Jail on preliminary charges of home invasion, attempted murder, possession and use of a firearm by a felon, possession of a stolen firearm, and resisting an officer. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. A check of jail records Thursday at 10:15 a.m. show no bail has been set. Decatur woman arrested on charge of stealing puppy. Decatur. Police say they arrested a 23-year-old Decatur woman Tuesday for walking into the home of a pit bull puppy and stealing the dog. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the woman was booked on a preliminary charge of residential burglary for taking the 9-week-old puppy called Saida. Commenting on the case Thursday, Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said Decatur police said that as far as he was aware, the puppy had not yet been recovered. The affidavit said the woman was seen stealing the puppy from its home in the 900 block of South Belmont Avenue on the afternoon of May 9th. A 56-year-old relative of the dog's owner said she heard a loud noise and came upstairs from the basement to see the woman walking out the front door with the dog in her arms. The Herald and Review had covered news of the burglary at the time, and Sergeant Brian Earls with Decatur Police said the 72-year-old owner of Saida had suggested the dog might have been taken as revenge. She said the suspect was an unhappy ex-girlfriend of her grandson who had been trying to contact him. A check of Macon County jail records Thursday showed the woman is free on bail of $3,000, which means she posted $300 to bond out. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. That's all we have time for with the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 22nd, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.